I'm speaking to you today on the subject hope, H-O-P-E, hope, a good hope, through grace. That's what the Word of God says. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, our Heavenly Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation, comfort, and a good hope. And a good hope through grace. Now, the word hope is a word that you use frequently, and I do too. You'd be surprised how many times you use that word in a day even. Somebody asked a question, will your business do well this year? And the man said, well, I hope so. I hope so. And someone else says, well, was the surgery on your brother a success? Well, we hope so. We hope so. Will your son graduate from school this year? Yes, we hope so. We use it frequently. And the word hope expresses a wish or a strong desire. Is that not right? A wish or a strong desire, something a person wants very much. I hope so. Well, do you know the Bible uses the word hope frequently? Quite often. In reference, now listen to me. The Bible uses the word hope quite often in reference to our relationship with God and our prospects for eternal happiness and eternal glory. That's right. The word hope. I'm going to show you that today. The word hope is used frequently in the Word of God in regard to our relationship, the believer's relationship with God, and the believer's prospects of eternal happiness and eternal glory. But a spiritual hope is more than a wish. A while ago when I said, will it rain tomorrow? Well, I hope so or I hope not. That's just a wish. That's just an expressing a desire. But a spiritual hope, according to the Scriptures, is a whole lot more than simply a wish or a desire. Our hope of eternal life, our hope of eternal glory, is a strong desire, but it's based upon expectation. This hope is based upon expectation, and this hope is based upon confidence. Confidence not only in the mercy of God, in the promise of God, and in the Word of God, but a confidence in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a spiritual hope is much greater and much different from just a simple wish or a simple desire. Now let me show you several passages in the Word of God in which the word hope, now you listen for the word hope, hope, in which the word hope is used in reference to the believer's relationship with God and our expectation of eternal life. First of all, I'm going to read from Romans 8, verse 24. And we see in this passage of Scripture that our prospects of eternal happiness and eternal glory in Christ Jesus are really an unseen hope. Unseen. That's right. It says in Romans 8, 24, we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen, that's not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? If you see something, you're not hoping for it. You already see it. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Now, when you're interpreting a verse of Scripture, always read what is written before, the preceding verses. Now, this is in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. If you read the preceding verses in Romans 8, you'll find the Apostle Paul is talking about the whole creation. It says the creation, the trees and the vegetables and the plants and the flowers and all the things in creation, the animals, everything in creation, was made subject to vanity and decay because of Adam's sin. When Adam fell, death came into the world. By one man's sin, death came into the world. By one man's disobedience, sin and death came into the world. And death passed upon not only the human population, but passed upon the whole world. And the whole world is suffering because of Adam's fall. We see death all about us in the trees and the plants and the garden, everything. And this creation groaneth and travaileth until the day when Christ shall return, and there'll be a new heaven and new earth in which there will be no death. In which there'll be no death. And that same scripture there says, we too are waiting and looking and hoping for the resurrection and redemption of our bodies, which will never die once they're raised. Once Christ comes and makes us like Himself, we'll never die. And there's going to be a new earth, new heaven, and a new earth in which there'll be no death, no decay, no rotting, nothing like that, nothing but life. And the same thing's true of our bodies. And that's what he's saying here. And it's unseen. It's unseen. It's something God's promised. It's something that will take place. It's something we're certain of, but it's an unseen hope. We hope to be like Christ. All right, secondly, in Romans 5, now listen to this. It's also a maturing hope, this hope that we have of being like our Lord. It's a maturing hope. Romans 5, verse 3 and 5, listen. We glory in tribulation. We glory in troubles and trials, knowing that tribulation or trials worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. And that word experience is maturity, growth, maturity. And maturity produces hope. Hope. There's that word again. All through life. Now here's what Paul's saying. All through life, believers have trials. In this world, you'll have tribulation. That's what our Lord said. You'll have trouble. And all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But these trials teach us patience. Patience with the providence of God. Patience with those around us. Patience. We learn patience through trials and trouble. You see, trials and troubles do not produce faith. They reveal faith. Trials and troubles and heartaches and sorrows and sicknesses and even death, that doesn't produce faith. That doesn't make a man believe in God. When a man goes through a certain trial, it reveals whether or not he does believe on God and the promises of God. So tribulation and troubles produce patience. And patience produces experience or maturity or growth in grace. And maturity and growth does what? Gives us a better hope. In other words, as I live on this earth and walk with a living God, and God visits my life with blessings and troubles, happinesses and heartaches, and successes and failures, and I go through all these trials and troubles, then I learn patience. I learn to wait on God. I learn to depend on God. I grow in grace, and I grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more I grow, the stronger my hope becomes. You see that? I mature not only in grace, but in hope. I have a better hope now than I had 5 years ago. A much stronger hope. Because I've made, and all of us who love Christ, make some progress in maturity and Christian growth. We believe more strongly than we've ever believed. God's Word means more to us. His promises mean more to us. All right, thirdly, it's called not only an unseen hope and a maturing hope, but it's called a living hope. Our hope is a living hope. Listen to 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope. A living hope. Now watch what follows. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, this hope, Our hope is not a creed so cold and dead. Our hope's not just a catechism. That's so cold and dry, isn't it? A dry, dead catechism. Our hope is not just a church membership. Our name's on a roll somewhere. Is that your hope? Our hope is not just a profession of faith. Our hope is in and of and by and through a living Lord. That's what he's saying here. Christ hath begotten us unto a living hope. Not an old profession of faith that we made 20 years ago, old experience that we've told over and over and over again. It gets drier every time we tell it. But our hope is in and through and by a living Lord. One who what? Raised from the dead, came forth from the tomb. He hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He died and he was buried, but he arose and he ascended to the right hand of God. That's what Paul said. He said, who can condemn me? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for me. Christ lives, and Christ lives in us, and we live in God by him. And our hope is a living hope. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yes, this spiritual hope, according to the Word, it's an unseen hope. It's a growing, maturing, better hope. And it's a living hope. And I'll tell you something else. Now, watch this. 1 John 3:2. It is a purifying hope. That's right. Listen to what it says. Now, you listen to the Word. Beloved, now, 1 John 3:2, are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. No, I don't know and you don't either. It doesn't appear. But when he shall appear, when Christ returns, we shall be like him. We know that much, don't we? We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? Well, we're now the sons of God. That's what he said. Brethren, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not something that's going to take place later. By faith in Christ, by the blood of Christ, by the death of Christ, being accepted in the beloved, being adopted into the family of God. We're sons of God. We're sons of God. And we are going to be like Christ. We have a hope someday that we'll be raised from the grave, incorruptible, immortal, eternal, perfectly conformed to the image of the Son of God. And he that hath this hope that he's going to be like Christ, what does he do? Well, that hope influences his life, causes him to walk in holiness and truth and integrity and honesty, and causes him to want to be like his Lord and to bring honor and glory to his Master. He doesn't want to embarrass his Father in heaven. Had a man say to me not long ago, he said, you know, when I was just a boy, he said, around the house, he said, out in public, I tried to live so that I wouldn't bring reproach on my mother and father. I wanted to be a boy that they would be proud of. And I think that's what this is saying here. That he that hath this hope, that he's going to be like Christ, it influences his action. It influences his conduct. It influences his walk. It influences everything about him. He wants to be a child that brings glory to the Heavenly Father. That's what our Lord said. He's told us that men might observe our works and glorify our Father. Let your light so shine before men that they may observe your lives and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, in the next place. This is also the believer's hope is a good hope. Now watch, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now listen to it. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, this is a text I read a moment ago, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope. A good hope. Now, I told you that this hope is an unseen hope. It's as sure as the promise of God. It's as sure as the word of God, but it's unseen. And it's a maturing hope as the years go by and as you grow in grace and as you go through trials and God deals with you in His providence and purpose, your hope is strengthened and it matures. And it's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not something that takes place in the isolated past, but it's a living hope because Christ lives. Christ lives. And it's a purifying hope. It influences and affects a man's conduct and character and conversation. And it's a good hope. It's a good hope. Do you know why it's a good hope? Do you know why the believer's hope is a good hope? Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, God gave it to us. That's what the text says. Now our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father who hath loved us hath given us a good hope. This hope is the gift of God. That's why my Lord doesn't give anything but good gifts. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from God. And every spiritual gift is a good gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And John said this, "This is the record. God hath given us eternal life." So I'll tell you why it's a good hope, because God gave it to us. He's the one that loved us. We didn't love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. He not only loved us, but He chose us. Christ said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us from the beginning unto salvation. Says that right there in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He not only loved us and chose us, but He called us. Paul said, "It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to call me by His grace." We're the called of Christ Jesus. Oh, we call on God. Sure we do. But we call on Him because He called us. And He not only loved us and chose us and called us and keeps us, but He keeps us. He keeps us by His power. What God doeth, Ecclesiastes said, it shall be forever. Do you know why our hope is a good hope? Because God gave it to us. God Himself, God our Father, hath given us a good hope. And I'll tell you why. Another reason why it's a good hope. It's a good hope because it's through grace. That's what that verse says. That verse says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, hath given us a good hope through grace." If my hope and your hope is in ourselves, it's not a good hope because we fail, we fall. But His grace can never fail. If our hope is in our works, it's not a good hope. How much works? How long shall we work? But grace never fails because grace is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith and grace is the gift of God. For whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He'll glorify. It's sure because God's grace guarantees it. And then thirdly, it's a good hope. Watch this. It's a good hope because God gave it. It's a good hope because it's through grace. It's a gift and grace cannot fail. And then it's a good hope because it's based on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Himself. Our Lord Himself came to this earth. Our Lord Himself took upon Himself our redemption and accomplished it. Paul said this in Hebrews, when He had by Himself purged our sins, by Himself, He sat down on the right hand of God. You see that? That's the reason it's a good hope, because it's accomplished by Christ Himself. He didn't give it to an angel to accomplish or give it to a man to accomplish. He took upon himself, the responsibility of redeeming our souls. And when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. I'll tell you this, the strength and certainty of a man's hope depends on the strength and the power of the one who gave it, and the one who accomplishes it, and the one in whose hands it has been placed. And our hope is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And those are strong hands. And our hope is an expectation that arises from the promised mercy of God in Christ. And our hope is a confidence that's based on His substitutionary work. And our hope is in a mediator who is where? Seated at the right hand of God. Now then, here's my final question. And I know this has got to be on your mind. It is on mine. I've been talking about this hope, an unseen hope, a maturing, better hope, a living hope, and a purifying hope. And God says here, a good hope. Now here's the question. It must arise in your heart, it does in mine. Is my hope a good hope? Is my hope a good hope? I'm going to die. It's appointed unto me and wants to die. And after that, the judgment. What is your life? It is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. What is your hope? What's your hope for eternal life? Well, is my hope a good hope? All right, let me ask you some questions briefly. I have a few moments. I'll try to ask one each moment, each minute, about 6 minutes. My hope is a good hope if I can give a good reason for that hope. A good reason. Now listen to the Word of God. Let everything be established by the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is, recognize the holiness of God. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear. Now, what's your reason? What's your reason? I'll tell you mine. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is my substitute, sacrifice, Savior, and sin offering. He loved me and gave Himself for me. He came to the earth and worked out a perfect righteousness in my stead. Went to the cross and died for my soul. He was buried and rose again and ascended to the right hand of God, where He is my righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and hope, and everything. Christ is all and in all. That's the reason why I have a hope. All right, secondly, my hope is a good hope if it's based on the Word of God. It's not what I think or what you think or what we suppose or believe. Romans 15:4 says this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the Scriptures might have hope." God said it, and that's the only foundation we've got for believing it. Faith's foundation is the Word of God. And my hope is a good hope if it's based on the Word of God. And the Word of God says Christ is the only Savior. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Christ said. Is your hope in the... It's not I think, I believe, my opinion. That's all useless. What saith the Scriptures? All right, thirdly, my hope is a good hope if it rests entirely on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except Christ the Lord. Is that clear? And so our hope, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And that's a good hope. Fourthly, my hope is a good hope if it brings me rest and joy and peace in Christ. Listen to Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with joy. Not an artificial hand-waving whoop-de-doo excitement and emotion. I'm talking about a peace of heart and conscience and mind before God. A quietness of spirit, a blessed quietness. Not making a lot of noise to be seen of men, but a rest in Christ Jesus. The God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, not in celebrating, in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, Christ in the heart gives you peace. And that's at all times. That's not just in an atmosphere of religion. That's when on the job and in the home, in the kitchen, in the shop, in the garage, on the street, in the park, in the store. Rest in Christ. All right, fifthly, my hope is a good hope if it believes God and acts in faith regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of the circumstances. Romans 4:18. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. He didn't have a human reason to expect a son at his age, but he believed God. And he hoped against hope. He staggered not at the promise of God, and so it was imputed to him for righteousness. Conditions and circumstances do not change a good hope, which is based on faith in Christ and not feelings, but Christ. That's a good hope. If it can rest in Christ, regardless of the circumstances, or the situation, or the conditions. And then last of all, my hope is a good hope if it continues to the end. To the end. Christ is the Son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of this hope firm to the end. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me crown of righteousness. That's a good hope. If you want this tape, it costs $2. On one side, the cross of Christ. On the other side, a good hope through grace. Write for it. Here's the address. Be given to you in a moment. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.